Everyone, welcome to Riverside Covenant Church on one of the best Sunday mornings in the last number of years that I can think of, for obvious reasons. Those of you who cannot see, who might be shorter than, say, this tall, should tell your mom and dad to move to the inside seat so that you're near the aisle and can sit in the aisle if that's where you want to sit so you can see, or can see the screen, because there's going to be a lot of pictures up here. And I know that moms and dads really like to sit in the back of the church, go figure, but if you're short, you need to be where you can see today, and you probably need your bulletin out, because there's a big empty space in there that you can draw on, but you can also draw on the back of one of the sheets that was probably in those bags that are in the very back. Honestly, when Ralph, who is our senior pastor, and we should all listen to him, pay attention to, said there was kind of a game last night, and nobody said anything in response at all. Either it's because you don't respect him, which I know isn't true, or it means you didn't watch the game, which is hard for me to believe, or it means that you're still so tired from last night that you couldn't respond, which I can totally believe, and that might be it. So can we start there again? Who watched the game? Oh, my word. Who was at the game? I know. Oh, man alive. What an amazing game. We were, by fortune of something that really doesn't matter, only it does matter, we're sitting in wonderful seats on the 50-yard line, really down close with families, and at all the little spots where people can leave the stands and go onto the field, there's this like half-inch cord blocking your way onto the field, and there's someone who's not a football player wearing like a little gray windbreaker, and no hat and no gloves and little shoes, and they're cold and they don't look extraordinarily strong, but very, very kind. And as it got closer and closer to the end of the game, I thought, this man is going to lose his life because there are 8,000 people ready to come flying down this one specific lane of the aisle to head into the field. And at about 10 seconds before the end of the game, I was watching around the field, and all of those little light gray windbreakers took like three steps to the right and got out of the way of the roar of people that were coming down. It was such a great game. And we wanted to be there for a number of reasons that I will talk about as we get into this story. But I'm going to talk today about Zacchaeus. What do we know about Zacchaeus? What's the one main thing we know about Zacchaeus? He was a whatever, right? That is so theologically rich and sound. It's probably true, but he was a wee little man. It's sort of like, what do we know about Noah? He had an ark. What do we know about Jonah? He got swallowed by a whale. Not probably a whale, but we focus on weird parts of the story that we remember. So for Zacchaeus, we all know he was a wee little man, which is the funniest word ever that we would call him that. There was another story that we were supposed to talk about today, but because we are all families up here, I audibled, it's going to be tons of football metaphors today, I audibled at the last minute and changed it to a story that I thought maybe more of us would be familiar with, and that describes many of us in the room, a.k.a. we little. That is what we are. So I want to start today by telling a story that's kind of like the story that we're going to look at to set the stage for what's going on. So in this story, there is a place called Purdue. It's a very little country. And half of the letters in the name Purdue are the same letters that are in the name Judea. So it's a very special, sacred place. Purdue is this little tiny country. And somewhere a little ways away, there is this big, enormous, sort of bossy place called the State of Ohio. And people in the State of Ohio looked at this little place called Purdue and said, oh man, we love their trees. We love their cornfields. We love their river. We have ideas about how to clean it up. We love their roads. We love roads and making them smooth and fancy. We love all kinds of things about Purdue, and we would like it. So important people from the State of Ohio came in one day and took Purdue for themselves and said, we own it. It's ours. We're in charge. Well, what they did was, then they said, now we need some money to help run this new thing that we own. And so they started to collect taxes. But for them, the best way to collect taxes was to hire people from Purdue to collect taxes for them, so the bite wasn't quite as bad. So they would hire people from the little land of Purdue who would collect taxes for the big, bad state of Ohio. And you can imagine what it would be like if you were from the little country of Purdue and people that you knew collected extra money from you. That would be like if you went to your school store. Some of you probably have school stores at your school where you can go buy pencils or you can buy erasers. I don't know if they sell candy, but they totally should if they don't. You need to talk to your teachers about that. Whatever they sell there, what if you went to that store and it said, this pencil is a quarter? And then your friend was selling the quarter or the pencil and they said, actually, that pencil's 30 cents. And you knew what they were doing was taking the extra nickel for themselves. You would not be very happy about it. What would it be like if you went to a Purdue football game and you went to the concession stand to buy a hot dog and you thought the hot dog was only going to be $25, because that's about what they are. But instead, Mitch Daniels was standing behind the little counter and said, that's going to be $35, actually. And you knew that Mitch, the guy who doesn't even think taxes are a good thing, was pocketing the extra $10 to give to the people that had told him that he had to collect taxes from his Purdue people, but those people were people from the big, bad, bully state of Ohio. You would start to go, well, first of all, I don't like the people who came and took my country, and now they're making my friends who love Purdue collect extra money that they get to keep some and then give some to the big, bad people from the big, bad, bully place of the red place called Ohio, the state of. So that's how you start feeling about people. That's what's going on in the story that we're looking at, only it's not a little place called Purdue, it's a little place called Judea, and the big bad bullies, who did have really nice roads and probably cleaned up rivers and had lots of aqueducts and stuff, they were the Romans. But that's what's going on, that the people from Judea were paying extra money to their friends and neighbors who were also Judeans who'd been hired by the Romans to collect extra taxes that were going to go to the Romans, not our best friends anymore. So we're going to read a story about a guy called Zacchaeus who was a wee little man, but quite a lot more than that. Let's pray before we read it. Dear God, thank you for your word. Thank you for stories that are so full of wonderful things that happen in them. Thank you for things that we get to enjoy in life. That help us have fun and laugh together, whether that's playing with our friends or watching movies with our friends or getting to watch football with people that we care about. We love that you love watching us have a good time. And I pray that this morning as we read the story of Zacchaeus, we would not only have a good time, God, but that we would learn about you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've got a little country named Judea. It's probably not a ton bigger than the land of Purdue. And we've got some people from Rome, might be about the same size as the state of Ohio. The is very important. Who have come in and said, we're in charge and we're going to collect extra money from you. So those hot dogs, they ain't going to be $25 anymore. They're going to be $35. And for some people, they might even be more than that because there might be lots of tax collectors who are taking a little bite of the hot dog. No pun intended. All right? So that's what's going on. And there's a little town called Jericho, which is part of Judea. So let's say it's one of our neighborhoods around here. And this is how the story goes. This is in Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho, one of the little towns in Purdue land or Judea, and he made his way through the town. I'd like you to note that he's not running. Might be running, but it doesn't say he was, so I'm just going to say he's walking. And in all the things that I've read in the Bible, I never see Jesus run, and I feel like that is a prescriptive detail in Scripture. So just take note of that. Jesus is entering Jericho. He's passing through. Another football allusion. Just keep track. They're all over in here. He's passing through town, and there was a man there, and here's where we're going to start taking note of what's going on. These are all the things that we know about the man in this story. There was a man there, and his name was Zacchaeus. Somehow we know the name of this guy after the fact, maybe, but we know his name is Zacchaeus. So we know his name. We know that he is a tax collector, so we know who he's working for, right? The big bad bully guys. He's a tax collector, that's his job. We know his name and his job, and we know the rank of his job. He is a chief tax collector, so he's important. And now we know one more thing about him. He had become very rich, being a chief tax collector. So we know that economically, he's doing fine. He's got a lot of money, most of which he got off of the backs of his friends and neighbors. in Judea. It doesn't tell us how people felt about him, but if it were you, how would you feel about him? If every time you went to get groceries or buy a hot dog at a Purdue game or buy a pencil at your school store, you had to pay twice as much as they said it cost and you knew where the extra money was going, how would you feel about that person? So that's what we know about Zacchaeus. His name, his job, his rank, his economic status, which is very rich. And then here's another thing we know about him. We know something about his physical appearance. He was very short. He was too short to see over the crowd. If I were to draw a stick figure picture of everybody in my family, and if you're here and you know how to draw stick figures, which most of you probably do, if you were to draw a stick figure family in your bulletin, who would be the shortest person in it? I would be the shortest one in my family, and I'm not even the youngest one in my family, but I would be the shortest one in my family. I know what it's like to be one of the short people. I want to show you some things about short people. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced this, but this is a picture of people who are in middle school. One of them is the shortest. The one on the left, he also happens to be the oldest, which is sometimes how it happens. He's in eighth grade. That girl's in sixth grade. Being short is a very real thing. This is a picture of some of my friends who graduated from Purdue a number of years ago. Some of them, actually this girl right here, is a little bit shorter than me. One of my first friends who was shorter than me. Do you see this girl right here in the middle? She's standing on her toes. And she's still the shortest person in the picture. She's Guatemalan. She's the most adorable little thing I've ever seen. But she is a teeny tiny short girl. And she has a hard time seeing things that are not down low. This is a group of people who are in junior high choir. See the short one in the middle? That's my boy. That is my boy. It's all in the family. This was me at the game last night. We were in the third row. So everybody's standing. That's what I could see. Now, because I had a phone, I could hold it up like this and take pictures that I could see better. But this is what I could see standing for the entire game, except for the commercial breaks when I sat. I could see the back of people's heads. These are my nieces when they were in high school. I was much older than high school. I am always the shortest person, it feels like, in a crowd. This is my friend named JoJo, who is 20 years younger than me and was probably taller than me when she was 4 years old. JoJo is taller than me. This is my nephew when he was in middle school, Spencer. He plays water polo for Stanford University now because he's a giant man, gentlest guy you'll ever meet. But look at how much taller he is than me. This was him when he was in first year of Stanford. He's even taller than he was then. This is me with my friend Deshaun when Deshaun was in high school. This is how tall Deshaun is now in college. I am always the shortest person in the room, it feels like. So I know a little bit about what it might have been like for Zacchaeus to be the short guy. When you're short, you know what? It's hard to see, isn't it? It's hard to see when you're short. So Jesus is coming through town. It says there was a large crowd following him, so that's another thing we know. And Zacchaeus was too short to see over the crowd, but we know this thing about Zacchaeus. He wanted to see Jesus. Now, when you read a story in the Bible, I think sometimes we read lines like that and we're like, whoop, and we just read right past it. And this is what I would say. Every time you see a line like that in a Bible story, you should stop and go, why? Why? Why would Zacchaeus want to see Jesus? Because here's the deal. Jesus was a Judean, just like Zacchaeus, which meant Jesus had had taxes collected from him by people like Zacchaeus, which means you would assume that Jesus probably didn't like Zacchaeus very much. I mean, that's what you would assume. If you were someone who always had to pay extra money to the guy who was collecting extra money for you, you might not like him. But for some reason, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, and I think that's really interesting, and I think we should wonder why. Now, I wanted to be at the Purdue game last night so badly for a lot of reasons. I love Purdue. I love football more than I can put into words. But I've really wanted to be at the games for the last 2 years because I know two of the players on the team. They were in my class last year, and they've become friends, and we've had them over for dinner. And I love being at Purdue football, to be at Purdue, place I love, to watch football, something I really love, especially after nights like last night. But also because I've come to care deeply about players number 11 and 53. I've met their parents, visited with some of their siblings. I love watching them play football. That's one of the reasons I want to go. But why would Zacchaeus want to see Jesus? If there was someone coming through town, or who would come through town that you would go, I would give anything to see them. I would give anything to see them. For some people, it would probably be Taylor Swift. For some people, it might be some superhero, Batman, Superman. You might really want to see him. Think of somebody who you would really want to see. You would do anything to see them. Jesus, totally. Why, though, would Zacchaeus want to see Jesus? The only way you know the answer to those questions is to go back and read the whole story. So this whole story starts in Luke. And if you go back to the very beginning of Luke, you don't get very far before you find out that Jesus was inviting a group of people to be his very closest friends. Like the people that he hung out with all the time, a group of legit BFFs who were going to do everything together no matter what. And in Luke 5, we find out that Jesus was leaving a town, probably walking, and he saw a tax collector. A tax collector whose name was Levi or Matthew. And Jesus said, I want you to be one of my best friends. And that never happened. Never did people go up to the tax collectors and say, I want you to be one of my best friends. Now, I have no idea if Zacchaeus knew Matthew, Levi. I don't know. Maybe. But I do suspect that Zacchaeus had probably gotten word about this because I bet tax collectors told other tax collectors what was going on. Because if there's a group of people who don't have friends and who nobody likes, they usually end up becoming a friend group themselves. You see it all over. You see it at work. You see it at school. So maybe Zacchaeus knew that one of Jesus' very best friends was a tax collector, and he thought, I got to see this guy. Or maybe this. Shortly after Jesus invited Matthew to be one of his best friends, it says later, I don't know how long later, Levi had a banquet, which is like just a knockdown party, tailgating to the extreme, in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. And it says many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also came and tailgated with them. I wonder if Zacchaeus was there. If he wasn't, I wonder if now that there were a lot of tax collectors who knew that Jesus had a best friend who was a tax collector, I wonder if the word got out to Zacchaeus. There's another spot where Jesus was teaching somewhere else, and after he was teaching, it says, when they heard what Jesus said, all of the people there, and then it adds, even the tax collectors, like this is a big deal, agreed that God's way was the best way. And then here's the kicker. I want to tell you why I think Zacchaeus really wanted to see Jesus. Right before Jesus went through Jericho, he told a story. And if I were to tell a story that started like this, once there was a beautiful princess, and there was a terrible monster. Who do you think is going to be the best person in this story, the princess or the terrible monster? The princess. Who do you think is going to be the villain? The terrible monster, of course. Everybody would know this, right? But this is the story Jesus told. It would have started sort of like that, but it went, once there was a very good man who went to church all the time. And there was a tax collector. Now, if you were there and you heard this story, you would go, oh, I know how this one ends. The really good guy who goes to church all the time, he's the hero of the story. The tax collector, he's like the dragon. Someone's probably going to cut his head off with a sword. That's what's going to happen. Everybody knew how the story would end. But you know what? Jesus tells this whole story, and when he gets to the end, he says this. That person who went to church every Sunday inside his heart, he wasn't a very good person. Do you know who was? The tax collector, because he really said he was sorry at one point. So Jesus took a story that should have ended a certain way, and he flipped it totally upside down, and the person who should have been the hero wasn't. And the person who should have been the villain, the tax collector, ended up being the hero. Now, if that were me, I would want to see the guy who told a story like that. If I were a dragon, and there was a guy walking around telling stories about nice little princesses and dragons, and the princesses ended up being kind of nasty and mean on the inside, but the dragons ended up being heroes because they were sorry about who they were, and I was a dragon, I would want to see the guy who told those stories. It would make total sense. I don't know if that's why Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. I'm just saying that when you see something in the Bible that says somebody wanted this or somebody wanted that, you should always go, why? Why? Because I think what you're going to find out is going to be amazing. So Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus, but we know he's too short to see over the crowd. And now we find out the best thing about Zacchaeus. He is resourceful. That means he's got really good ideas. And he decides to himself, well, when I was standing at the football game last night and I couldn't see anything, I did this. I stood on my toes a little so that I could see better. I thought about standing on the seat in front of me, knowing that it wasn't going to block anybody behind me anyway because I'm so short. I didn't. But you think of whatever you can that you need to do in order to see. So what did Zacchaeus do? Somebody knows this. What did Zacchaeus do? What did he climb? He climbed a tree. He climbed the tree. The is very important. He climbed the tree. Well, here's how some people have drawn that picture. There's Jesus in a white robe in a dusty land, but he's not dirty at all. Very, very historically accurate, I'm positive. And there's Zacchaeus sitting in a tree, which is ridiculous because there's absolutely nobody blocking his view. So this picture is foolish in my mind. No crowd at all. He might have just wanted to show off his tree climbing skills for Jesus. That could have been what's going on. Here's another picture. The black and white. This is very retro vintage. You could color it if you had your little markers with you. So here's Jesus, and this is Zacchaeus, only he's not climbing a tree. Look what he's climbing. He's climbing a stump. Someone cut this tree off, and Zacchaeus said, I think I'll climb the stump because climbing the tree would be too much work. Here's another picture. Jesus, when they have that fancy little circle around their head, it means that they're very important and good people, and the people drawing it wanted to show they're kind of like angels, so they put that little circle around it. Zacchaeus is up there in the tree. But I'm thinking, I don't know why he's having a hard time seeing. Look at these guys down here. They're the ones who need to be in a tree. They can see nothing, can they? They're actually just tiny like that because when you drew in this time period, tiny people weren't important. So it was a sign of how important they were. Here's a really great one. This is one of my favorites. Once again, in the dry and dusty land, Jesus' white robe is perfectly clean. He has a pet dog named Rover who follows him around everywhere. And there's Zacchaeus in a tree. The little boy's not in a tree, but he is. But I just want to do a close-up on his face for a second because that's Gimli, right? You know who Gimli is, right? If you don't, you probably need to go home and do some more reading. All right, my favorite of all, Zacchaeus in the tree, and then Jesus is doing a kind of like a matrix move so he can get back far enough to actually see the tiny guy who's up in the tall tree. So he climbs a tree, and then here's where the story gets great. What did Zacchaeus want? He wanted to see Jesus. And it says, when Jesus passed by, and Zacchaeus thought to himself, this is a good day because Jesus is there, and I saw him. I got what I wanted so I could go home. That would be like me saying, I just really want to go to the Purdue Stadium. And going last night and walking in and looking at the field and looking at the people and going, this is great. Now I'm going home. What? I would have missed everything good. Jesus passes by. Zacchaeus sees him. Zacchaeus got what he want now. And I think Zacchaeus is just waiting for Jesus to go and all the crowd to go because Zacchaeus wants to get out of the tree and not be seen because nobody in the crowd really likes him, right? Nobody likes him very much. So Jesus passes by, Zacchaeus sees, and then it says, Jesus stopped. When I just stopped talking, you know what happened? Everybody stopped what they were doing. Because when someone stops, everybody stops and pays attention. So when Jesus stopped, everything stopped. The chatter stopped. The walking stopped. Hopefully the running had stopped long before that. Everything stopped. And I bet Zacchaeus stopped breathing. Man, I hope he moves again really fast. Please move. Because when everybody stopped underneath that tree, someone might notice that Zacchaeus is there. And if somebody that you don't like is sitting in a tree above you, it's like you've treed a squirrel or a cat or whatever you do when you hunt. You've treed the thing that you want to hunt and it's right there for you. So Zacchaeus is waiting. And instead of moving on, Jesus speaks and he says, Zacchaeus. Now, I think that if Zacchaeus had a middle name, Jesus might have said, Zacchaeus James. When your mom and dad use your first name and your middle name, watch it. If they use your first name, your middle name, and your last name, which is also their last name, you're really in trouble. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, and I think everybody in the crowd is going, Zacchaeus is here? And they look up and they see him, and I think Zacchaeus might be scared, and then this is what I think they hoped. I think they hoped that Jesus was going to start telling Zacchaeus all the things that he'd done wrong. Zacchaeus, you're very naughty. You're very bad. You take your brother's stuff. You're not nice to your sister. You don't do what I ask you to do. You take people's money. And the people were very excited about what Jesus might say. And this is what Jesus said. Zacchaeus, first of all, wait. How do you think he knew his name? Really, how do you think he knew his name? I know that Zacchaeus, or I know that Jesus is fully God, but I don't think he walked around with a Rolodex of all the names in his head. I think he had to learn things. So I don't know if he'd maybe met Zacchaeus once before. I don't know if he looked up and then looked at somebody and said, who is that up there? The Bible leaves out all kinds of things that I'm curious about. But somehow Jesus knew his name and he said, Zacchaeus, come down right now. Come on down, Zacchaeus. And I bet the people are going, okay, he didn't get mad at him up in the tree. He's going to get mad at him when he's down right in front of him. So this is going to be really good. Zacchaeus, come on down because I want to hang out at your house today. When you get invited over to someone's house, someone who's pretty important, it's a pretty big deal. I want to hang out at your house today. So we know about Zacchaeus' name. We know about his job. We know about his rank. We know about his economic status. We know that his physical appearance, he's short. We know what his motivation is. I want to see Jesus. We know that he's resourceful. He climbs a tree. And now what we're going to find out about is Zacchaeus' heart. Because when Zacchaeus came down from that tree and he looked at Jesus, Jesus didn't say anything to Zacchaeus about what he needed to do or be. Zacchaeus just looked at Jesus and said, if I've done anything wrong or anything that's disappointed you or hurt somebody else, I want to fix it. He didn't say, I'm going to offer a sacrifice. He said, my heart is contrite and sorry. Because that's what happens when you meet Jesus. Your heart is changed. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Sometimes there might be times when you think you know what you want, and then your mom and dad go, well, what you really need is, ugh. Does that just like make you want to grind your teeth a little bit? Because you're like, I don't want you to tell me what I need, mom and dad. This is what I want. I want to stay up really late watching my favorite movie. And your mom and dad might go, but you really need to get some sleep for tomorrow. And what you don't know is that tomorrow is going to be a really big day where something great is going to happen. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus knew that Zacchaeus needed to be seen by Jesus and needed to be loved by Jesus and needed to be told by Jesus who he really was, because people don't get to tell us who we are. Jesus tells us who we really are. We are really someone that he wants to spend time with. That is a really good story. And all those stories that you think you know really well, don't think you know them so well. Go back and read them over and over and over again. And moms and dads, ask yourself lots of questions about why they say what they do, because they will knock you over with how amazing they are. Let's pray. Dear God, it's fun to win a football game. It feels so good on the inside. But it's this short little thing that feels great for a little while. Knowing you and knowing that you know us and knowing that you love us feels great forever. And it changes everything forever. And I pray that today we would know for sure that if we want to see you, you will absolutely let us see you, but you will do so much more. I pray that we would know that you know us, that you love us, that you want to spend time with us, and that when you invite people to be your very best friends, we are one of the people that you invite. That's a good story. In Jesus' name, amen.